us a night of rest and how we can enter into this third day of our camp. We thank thee for how thou hast given to life, to us life, health and breath this morning, and how we can just even start this day early, coming before thy presence together as thy people, coming together to sing praise unto thee, to even remind ourselves of our purpose, of why thou hast put us here on this earth together. Thou hast called us together because of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and our Savior, and how privileged we are, O Lord, to bear the name of Jesus everywhere that we go. Help us in this time to remind ourselves, even to go labor on in thy name, O Lord, for thy sake, for thy glory, not because of self, not because of our will, but because thou hast called us together to be found in this church. So help us in this time even to meditate on thy word, refresh and renew us in thy word, and we pray that you will strengthen us together as thy people. So bless us as we study of thy word, grant to us strength, lift up any tired or weary heart, and we pray, O Lord, that our souls will be lifted up unto thee. So bless us in this service, may you cleanse, wash, and take away all sins, and help us to be sanctified through thy truth, by thy truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, please be seated. Sorry, the hymn is quite high. To bear in mind to choose hymns that are a bit lower in key, especially when you have this morning voice. I think it's not easy to sing it for everyone. All right, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 to verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 to verse 9, a very familiar passage. Let's read this verse together. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 to verse 9. Right, let's read all these verses together. Reading. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. Amen. God bless the reading of his holy and sacred word. Right, this morning, our morning devotion is entitled Our Earthly Endeavors. Right, Our Earthly Endeavors. Now, yesterday, we have looked at verses 1 to 4. You know, and so what Paul did was to address the problems of the church, right? If you do not deal with the problems of the church first, then the church cannot grow. The people of God cannot labor together as one in unity. They cannot if they have all these problems hanging around them, right? So Paul had to deal very directly, almost quite harshly in a way, but for their own good, to let them know this is your problem, Corinthian church. This is happening amongst you. How come? You're supposed to be mature Christians, but by your behavior, by the way that you are, by your attitude in service, by how there are divisions amongst you, I do not think that the church is very mature at all. Right? This is not a good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. So in verse 1 to verse 4, right, yesterday we have looked at it, it really shows that the church is quite carnal, very fleshly in the mind. The church was behaving just like the world, playing politics between Paul, Apollos, and whoever else is in the church. There are all this kind of squabblings and arguments. And all these people, they did not prove themselves to be very spiritual in mind. Not saying that the whole church is bad, but very likely quite a good number of them were causing all these problems. So anyway, Paul dealt with this problem in verse 1 to verse 4. Now, we have a problem, but we also must have a solution. Right, and that is what Paul would provide in these verses on. So for today's morning devotion and tomorrow's morning devotion, we will have two very simple illustrations. Right, and today's illustration is of the farmer in the field. Right, tomorrow's illustration that we'll look at is of a building. So this is how Paul will present an illustration to help the church to understand how should the people of God work together and labor together in the church. The church right now is not in a very good place, not a very good testimony, but this is how the church should be. Remember yesterday we also mentioned that the church is a temporary establishment. We're just here only for a little while until the Lord Jesus comes. Right, so in this time, while we are on earth, we labor together. Right, that's why I've entitled this morning's message as Our Earthly Endeavor. Right, but first of all, when we look at verse 5 to verse 7, right, verses 5 to 7, our first point for this morning is earthly efforts, heavenly work. Earthly efforts, heavenly work. Right, while we are here, we will take part in the church. Right, our prayer and hope, of course, is that every single church member will do something for the Lord. Right, so there is some amount of earthly efforts. We have to spend time, we have to spend energy and effort to serve the Lord. Earthly efforts. But let us also not forget that at the end of the day, right, everything that happens in the church, everything that works in the church, it must be a heavenly thing. It's not because of us that souls are saved. And that is the problem with the Corinthian church. While they were together on earth in the Corinthian church, right, their mind was very earthly, very carnal. That's why all these problems came out. Right, so first of all, let's see what Paul says here in verse 5. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? Right, so Paul poses a question down here. And it is very important here in verse 5 that Paul mentions this. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? Right, if you look in Acts chapter 18 very quickly, right, just very briefly, let's turn there. Acts chapter 18. This is when the Corinthian church founded. Acts chapter 18. Right, of course, we cannot go through every verse here. Finally, Acts chapter 18. Now, you look at verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. Right, Acts 18, verse 1. Right, so he came to Corinth, there the gospel was preached. Right, verse 5. And when Silas and Timotheus were coming from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Right, so this is commonly known as the founding of the Corinthian church in this time. And later on, Paul had to continue on in the journey. Right, in verse 11, and he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God amongst them. Right, so yesterday we mentioned this also. Paul spent a good 1.5 years with them. He fed them with the milk. Right, with the word of God, he taught them from ground up, right, in this church that was set up. So after that, Paul had to continue on this missionary journey. But as we look at this same chapter in verse 24, the Lord also raised up Apollos, right, verse 24, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man. He's a good speaker, and more importantly, not just because he was a good speaker, but he was mighty in the scriptures. A man who was mighty in the knowledge of God's word, and not just because he was very good in the knowledge of God's word, but because, of course, he loved God's word, he was able to preach and teach from it, and so he was called. Right? And, of course, by the book of 1 Corinthians, we knew that this same man, Apollos, was called to the church in Corinth. Right, so this is just some background. So let's come back here to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Right, just in case you're wondering, who is this Apollos? Right, so now, of course, Paul had to continue on the missionary journey, and later on, by God's mercies and grace, Apollos was called to the Corinthian church. Now, does Paul have a problem with Apollos? No. Does Apollos have a problem with Paul? No. The Lord called both of them to be used of his purpose. So, it's very silly that the church was fighting over them. Right, very, very silly. This is quite nonsensical, actually. Right, so that's why Paul... Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? Why are you fighting over our names? This is ridiculous. Right? Why are you taking sides about who is better? Who is, I don't know, whatever they are fighting over. Right? We don't have all the details. But it is just silly. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? Right? Imagine maybe some of those who were saved during the time of Paul. They heard the gospel from Paul and they might think, oh, you see Paul, he is the apostle, he should be the rightful pastor. Ah, look at Apollos, you know, who is this replacement? I can't compare him to Apostle Paul. Right, so perhaps all these things were happening in the church. Right, so this is very silly, very, very human kind of attitude. How we compare things, ah, who is better, you know, who is the better speaker, who preaches better, or whatever it might be. Who is the nicer person? These are human strivings. very nonsensical that should not be found in the church. But this was happening. So Paul had to correct them. Who is Paul and who is Apollos? But important word comes in here. But ministers by whom we believe. Now this word ministers down here is where we get the word deacon from, right? Diakonos. Normally in Greek, to describe servants or slaves, we have two words. One is doulos, right? This word is used to describe the relationship between the master and the slave. How the slave is bound to the master, a bond slave, right? So Paul will use it sometimes to show that he was bound to the Lord Jesus Christ and nothing could remove him, right? This bonds cannot be severed by anything, but he was bound to the Lord Jesus Christ. Right, so in the original, that is the emphasis. But down here, right, as the Lord moved the Apostle Paul to write, he emphasized very strongly on this word, ministers, using the other word for deacon. Now, the emphasis of this word deacon here, diakonos, is on duty. There's a difference. Okay? The doulos, the other word, emphasizes on the relationship. But down here, the emphasis is on the duty of the servant and the slave. The slave and the servant has no will of their own. Right? They do not decide what they want to do on their own. Right? They always have to go to the master and ask the master, "Master, what do you want me to do? Whatever your will is, I will do. Whatever you tell me, I will settle it. I will do it your way, by your command, when you want to do it, you tell me, I will do it." Right? So this is the duty of a slave. The slave doesn't go there and go and decide whatever he wants to do by his own way, his own time, or whatever. Right, so Paul was emphasizing that himself, Apollos, right, whatever they did in the church of Corinth, it was a duty given by the Lord himself. They were not there because they wanted to be there, right, but because the Lord called them there. And so the Lord chose to use Paul for a certain season of time. Why not 3 years? Why not 5 years? Why not 10 years? Simply because Paul was just a servant of the Lord. Right, when God says, time to go on, Paul, Paul has to go on. He cannot stay there any longer than God would want him to. So after 1.5 years, he had to go on. Right, so God gave to him a season of time to serve. And by God's own timing, next he called Apollos to come to the church. That's why Paul was telling them, right, every servant of the Lord, himself, Apollos, all called by the Lord. Right, all doing the Lord's will. So who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? Is Paul higher ranked than Apollos? Well, Paul was an apostle called to write the scriptures. He was given this very special office and privilege. But was he comparing himself that, you see, I am better than Apollos? Right? He's just a stand-in, just my replacement, right? My understudy. He didn't say such things. No, it doesn't matter. Right? So who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom he believed. How did the people come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it because of Paul? Is it because of Apollos? No. By earthly efforts, they were there. Right? By their strength given to them, they were able to preach and teach to the people. But is it because of them that the people believe? No. Right? They were just instruments. God is the one that did the heavenly work to save the soul. Right? To take the soul out of darkness, out of hell, into His marvelous light. And this is the heavenly work that happens. Right, so let us bear in mind that while we are on this earth, we do take earthly efforts, right? To go for evangelism, we have to set a time apart. We have to take the effort to go. Right, and we have to do all those things. But let us also be very mindful that this is a divine heavenly work that God carries out. Right, so this is something that Paul really wants the church to understand. When we lose focus on this, we will compare people based on earthly standards, right? We compare portfolios, who has done more things, who is more experienced, right? Who is a better speaker, who has more knowledge. We will compare all these kind of things. That's how the world would do it. But not for Christians, not for heavenly people like you and like I. We do not work on this kind of a basis, right? So let us remember that all of us, whether you are young, whether you're old, whether you're a young believer or mature, older believer, whatever it might be, all of us, we are called by the Lord for His service, for His use. Right, so who then is Paul, who is Apollos? But ministers by whom we believe, and take note, even as the Lord gave to every man. The Lord is the one that arranges. The Lord is the one that gives. So why are they squabbling? Isn't it very silly? Is it because the Corinthians took a vote? Okay, we all voted Paul in. So Paul is our pastor now, you see? We chose Paul. Paul was the one who went there and preached the gospel to them. And Paul was there, that there was not even a church. Right? So we have to remember. Sometimes, you know, again, we use our earthly thinking. Just because we vote, we think that, you see, the power lies in voting. Right? We chose you, so you serve us because we chose you. And that is the attitude that sometimes, right, we take towards our government. Since we vote you in, well, you better serve us, right? But let us remember that in the church, it doesn't work this way. Yes, we are Presbyterians, right? Bible Presbyterians. We do vote, we do elect. But let us remember also that there is a higher hand at work. We must be very mindful of this. The Lord gave to every man. The Lord is the one that appoints, calls, decides, and prepares every single one. Right? Not just pastors, not just leaders, not just elders, not just deacons, but every single one of us. But the Lord uses all of us in this way. Out of all the churches in Singapore, why are we in Tabernacle VP? Right? Why? Aren't there bigger churches? Aren't there churches with a building, with more resources, more people? So why? Why are we here in this small, tiny little church that has no home? Right? Tabernacle moving from place to place, looking so miserable sometimes, right? And who are we? Why are we here? Isn't it because the Lord called, the Lord appointed, the Lord set in place? Same for Paul, same for Apollos, same for you, same for me, same for all of us. Right? The Lord has His purpose. He is the one that appoints in this way. The Lord gave. The Lord gave. The Lord is the one that set all of us here. Even remember David and Saul, right? There were two occasions when David, he could have killed Saul. Remember when Saul was in the cave relieving himself, right? Then David's men were telling him, hey, see, Saul is over there. Right? All you have to do is kill him. And then, oh, you know, the Lord has given to you this chance, this golden opportunity. All you have to do is take out your sword and kill Saul, and all our troubles will be over. No longer will we need to be fugitives running away from this Saul who is persecuting us. Right, go and do it, David. The Lord has given to us His chance. David couldn't. Another time when he was in Saul's camp, he could have stabbed Saul also in his sleep. He couldn't do it either, because he understood the Lord is the one that appoints and gives. It's not for David to go and decide, right? David didn't say, oh, this is a golden opportunity. See, God has opened the door for me to kill Saul, so I'm going to do it. The Lord has never commanded David to kill Saul. He could not lift a finger to touch Saul. Right? And that was the heart of David. He understood this principle very well. He knew that he was just an instrument. God has put Saul there as the first king for a good reason. Right? And then David knew that until God removes Saul, David cannot just do things as he likes. He just has to wait for the right time, and God will raise David up in good time. And God Himself will remove Saul. Right? So, even in David's life, the man after God's own heart, he understood this very well. Right? So the Lord gives. So this is something that Paul was really trying to impress upon the church members, that this is the thought that we should have. Right? And verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So simple. Right, Paul was there in the beginning, in a sense, the illustration of a farmer. He's the one that has sown the seeds. He was there at the founding of the church. And later along the way, Apollos came and helped the church. Right, Apollos watered. He helped the church to continue to grow. Right, so is there a difference between the one who plants and the one that waters? Who is more important? Answer is no. No, nobody's more important than the other. Right, in all the works in the church, in the work of salvation, do you have control over it? No, none of us do. What about spiritual growth? Do you and I have control over it? Perhaps in a sense where we need some discipline to read God's word, to pray and all those things. But at the end of the day, spiritual growth in the soul, who is the one that works all those things? Is it not the Holy Spirit that convicts and saves in the first place or so? And then the Holy Spirit allows us to continue to be sanctified, to be convicted by the Word of God, to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right, so why are they comparing Paul and Apollos again? Right, so this is a divine work. Let us remember this in the church. Right, all these things that we do for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, while earthly endeavors might be done there, earthly efforts might be taken, But let us always remember, isn't this why we pray? Because we know we can organize gospel rallies every single week. But who is the one that saves? It's the Lord that saves. Right? So this is a divine work. So the church must remember this. But God gave the increase. And take note, in the next verse, this will be emphasized again in verse 7. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Right? So he that planteth and he that watereth, who are they again? Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? They are not anything, but the focus is on God Himself. God is the one that gave the increase. You know, if you think about it this way, right? If the illustration of a farmer and the field. Now, for us in Singapore, we are quite high-tech, okay? And we don't do a lot of farming, right? And whatever farms we have, now, it's quite amazing. They have things like hydroponics, right? They even have aeroponics now. You don't even need soil. You can even plant things and let it grow in the air, right? And this is something quite, you know, when I used to describe this to students back in Kenya, they're quite amazed by it. They cannot understand. To them, planting is always traditional. You need soil, you need water, you need fertilizer. Very traditional. Right, but to tell them that, oh, you can grow some of these things in water, or you can grow some of these things in the air. They cannot think about it, mind blown, right, as people would say. They cannot understand that. It doesn't occur to them at all. They think this is crazy. Right, so nowadays, we can control all these things. Right, even in Singapore, they can grow strawberries or whatever they want. They control the temperature, the humidity, the nutrition, that whatever the seed needs. And you can grow basically anything. Right, and this is where we are today. But think about it this way, right? Sometimes we are not a very agricultural people. We forget that at the end of the day, who is the one that gives life to the seed? Can you make the seed grow? You can give all these elements, right? Because of a human engineering. In the past, they couldn't. All they could do was just sow in the fields and then pray very hard. The rains will come at the right time, and then the temperature conditions will be just good, and then the crops can grow. They have no control. All the farmer can do is just sow, right, till the ground, and then just fertilize it as best as he can, and then pray very hard. Right, that's why in Israel, the timing of the rains and all these things are very important. And that's why Paul uses illustration of a farmer for them, to let them realize, you have no control. You have no control. You cannot give life to the seed. If God wills it that all the seeds you have sown, nothing will grow. Nothing will grow. The farmer cannot sit down there and stare at the seed and say, grow, 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 grow. The seed is not going to grow. Right? You cannot stare at a tree. Have fruit, have fruit, have fruit. And then there will be fruit. If the season is not right, there will be no fruit. Very simple. Sometimes we think we control a lot of elements. Right? But let us remember, we can do our best. Right? When we organize something, we try our best to make an environment that is good for something to go on. Right? To organize a church camp, I'm sure it's not easy. Right? The committee will try to provide the best environment that we can have for good spiritual feeding. You organize a gospel rally, it's the same. You try your best, right, to pick a location, right, to get a speaker, to give out tracts or invite and pray for others as best as we can. But at the end of the day, who is the one that does the work of salvation? Not you, not me. Who is the one that does the work of spiritual growth? It is the Lord Himself. Right, so this is something that the church needs to be reminded about. God is the one that gives the increase. Right, and this is also a very humbling point for you and for me. Sometimes we might think that, oh, you see, without me, this whole ministry will collapse. Remember, the Lord is the one that gives. The Lord is the one that appoints you there and calls you there. Do you not think that the Lord can also raise someone else up? Just because you do many things, you think the church cannot go on without you? It was quite interesting. In the previous church that I came from, you know, I was away in Kenya for a while, many years ago. And at a time, the church had a pastor, right? And so, unknown to me, and unknown to quite a number of the church members, he was engineering a split behind the scenes, right? And it's later on hindsight, when I returned back to Singapore, that I realized how he did it. It's very interesting. And then the church, right? He chose particular people to influence. It's very smart in a worldly sense, okay? He knew who to target. Targeted the Sunday school coordinator, the key Sunday school teachers. Right, in a session, he targeted key people that are useful to him. Right, different people from different ministries. So that when he could split the church, he would have all these people in place already. Right? All these things we didn't know. Right? Until we came back and realized, one day, half the church walked out like that. The entire Sunday school collapsed overnight. No more Sunday school teachers. Yeah, I think maybe only one teacher left or none. Right? Entire Sunday school just collapsed overnight. That's it. Some ministries couldn't continue because all the key people are gone. They just chucked everything and left overnight. That's it. Right? And sometimes I kind of laugh at it. He didn't influence me at all, so I'm quite worthless to him, right? It's very funny. Sometimes you look back at all these things. Right? Even in the YF also, he knew how to target some of the people in the YF committee. He knew. Some of these people are very bright, very brilliant, very eloquent. Right? And he targeted them. And I think I'm quite useless to him. Not very smart, not very eloquent. So he didn't care. He didn't contact me at all. So after the split happened, I came back. I sat down with some of the church members and friends. And, you know, on hindsight, we look back at all these things. Yeah, really, we were discouraged for a long time. But, you know, when we read through some of these passages, we realized, yeah, you know, God is the one that helps. He's the one that set up the church. If he allows the church to continue, so be it. Right, that's it. Who are we? Right, we are just instruments of the Lord. And true enough, in due time, right, the Lord did raise up others in the church. He allowed others to do things that they never could before. Very strange how the Lord works. Right, so these are things that in life we have to understand and know. Right, many a times, I believe in a YF, or not just in a YF, but adults, youth, or children, we often ask, what is the Lord's will for my life? How should things be? What's the way ahead? And we just commit it to the Lord. The Lord can use us and call us for His purpose. Right? So just pray. Follow the Lord and He will use us. The Lord is the one that gives the increase. And just very quickly, as we look to the last 2 points in verse 8 to verse... the last point in verse 8 to verse 9. Right, Paul will continue with the illustration. Right? So as the Lord raises up people, right, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Right, so in verse 8 to verse 9, we have this point. Earthly efforts, heavenly unity. Right? On this earth, while we work together, we know sometimes it's tough, it's difficult. The way we work sometimes is a little bit different. Our characters are different. It's natural to step on each other's toes sometimes. It's just like that. But let us remember this, all right? In verse 8 to verse 9. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Okay, so take note of this. You and I, every single one of us, regardless of whatever calling God has given to us, okay, regardless of whether it's a pastor, elder, or deacon, or regardless of your position in the church or whatever office you are in, it doesn't matter in a sense. Okay, but the whole church together works together in God's vineyard. Right? This is the point in verse 8 to verse 9. Basically, all are one. Everyone serves the Master's will at the end of the day. The end of the day when God calls, we might have different so-called vocations. We might have different offices given to us, different responsibilities, different duties. But all these things are done together in unity, right? For the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. But all these things are done for the gospel's sake, for the word of God, right? So that we together as God's people can be one to do God's will together. Right? And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Right? God is very fair. He knows every single person that works in His field. He's very fair. He's the best paymaster. You think God will miss out on your reward? No, He will not. You think He doesn't see all your unseen efforts? Sometimes it is tiring, right? Some might do many things behind the scenes and you might think, nobody thanks me, nobody appreciates me, and you know, I just keep doing this for year after year after year. And sometimes, instead of thanks, you get all kinds of criticisms, and you know, it feels quite sad sometimes. But let us remember this. The Lord gives us reward. Right? We're not looking for earthly rewards, right? We're not here just for earthly praises. Right? We are just here to serve the Master. Right? So the Lord will just give accordingly, every man for his own labor. What you do for the Lord, He knows. Right? Doesn't mean you do many things you do for the Lord. We can do many things, but wrong motive, wrong heart, wrong mind. You think the Lord will reward? Of course not. We do it for self, you can do many things. The Lord will not give a reward for that because it is done for me, not for Jesus Christ, not for Him. Right, so let us remember, the Lord is the one that will give reward. Right? Every man according to his own labor. And in the first part of verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Right? And this is the first part that we look at. The second part of verse 9, we'll look at it tomorrow. Right, so let us remember, very common verse again, we are laborers together with God. In the sense where we cooperate with God, sometimes in our thinking, we often ask God to assist us. Now, that is not wrong by itself. Right? Yes, the Lord will help us. He'll give us wisdom. He'll give us strength. But let us remember that God is the one that is far higher. He's the one that directs. He's the one that gives to us His will. So in actual fact, you know, when we ask the Lord to help us, we are actually cooperating with Him. He gives the orders. We follow. Right? And that's why we plead, we pray, we really beg Him for strength. Because if He doesn't give the strength, we can't do anything. He doesn't give the wisdom, we fail. We make fools of ourselves. Right, so let us remember this. Right, when we say that we are laborers together with God, it's not as if God is side by side with me, you know, we're on the same level. God help me, I help God. You see, God needs my help. That's the wrong idea of it. In actual fact, God says, this is my will. We just quietly obey and cooperate with the Lord. That's the idea. And therefore, we are laborers together with God. We cannot labor together without God at all. All of us will fail. Right? Without the Lord, we cannot labor together. We just cannot. Right? There will be fightings, divisions, and splits. And exactly, this is the problem in the church. They've forgotten what it means to labor together with God. They are laboring, trying to labor together without the Lord. That's why, carnal mind, fleshly mind. Right? They don't have a spiritual mind, bearing God in mind, fearing the Lord. Right? And last point here is Paul reminds them, ye are God's husbandry. This word husbandry is used only once here in the New Testament. It's actually where you get the name George from. Right? It just means a cultivated field, a field that is prepared, right? A field that is ready for planting. And that's why Paul reminds them, the whole church belongs to God. It is God's field. You know, it's been mentioned a couple of times, so to the children, right, in Sunday school. And I think yesterday's been mentioned or so. Right, you in your small corner and I in mine. Sure, different corners, sometimes very far, but still, same field. That's it. Right? We're still in the same field. We're still toiling in the same field together. And we're still doing the same thing. Sometimes we forget this. Again, we are not agricultural people. Right? Sometimes after church on Sunday, we just go back to our workplaces, we just are slog through the whole week, and sometimes we forget all the simple things. You know, in Kenya, sometimes we have the privilege, when we go around, we look at the tea plantations, we look at some of these plantations, and you'll find 20, 30 people all working together in the same field. And that's it. They just do their job, they just harvest together, they reap it together. That's it. For us, sometimes, our life might be very filled with office politics, all kinds of things going on, and our minds are a little bit far removed from what it means to labor together in God's husbandry, in God's field. Right? We forget this field belongs to the Lord. It doesn't belong to us. We don't own the land. Right? Many of these farmers actually, you know, they actually when they do farming, they don't own the land. It's owned by some very rich landlord. Right? But all these people who labor in the fields, they just reap what they can, and then the landlord will just give to them a certain portion of the field. They don't own the land. Right, the landowner will just hire them to do the harvesting or the planting and all these things. Right, and so you think about it, in our case, we don't own the field. It's not ours in the first place. Right, the Lord God has just called us to work in this field. It's a privilege given to us. Anything that we reap is not ours, by the way. It doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the Lord. That's why we always give glory to God. It's not how many souls I have saved, how many souls Paul has baptized, how many souls Apollos has baptized, not all these things. The church is God's husbandry and God's field. And so let us remember today, while on this earth, in this church together, we labor together, near or far, whatever office, vocation we are called to, right, whatever calling, whatever area of ministry, we take this earthly endeavor together. But let us never ever forget that behind it all, it is a heavenly work. To be done in this heavenly divine unity under the name of the Lord Jesus Christ together. And if we do not do this, then surely we will fail as God witnesses in testimony. So may the Lord help us as we all serve Him together, right, to serve with the right mind, a spiritual mind, the right heart, and let us all labor, right, for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, as we come before Thee, we thank Thee for this time that we can have even to study of Thy Word. We pray that You will help us to labor together, O Lord, cooperating with Thee, submitting ourselves unto Thee, unto Thy will, and help us all to have the same mind, the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, a heart after Thine own, to do all things for Thy glory and for Thy sake. So, Lord, bless us in all our works and all our labors, and help us to do it, not for any earthly reward, but to hear from Thy own voice, O Lord, well done, my good and faithful servant, to help us truly to serve Thee in this life that Thou hast given to us. And may You bless Thy people, and may You bless this church. We commit ourselves unto Thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.